Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
All right, so let's go into God's word this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now, you guys will have to excuse us from next week. I know this is a very light announcement. But, you know, we've been a very formal church in the way we dress. So, please, if I come next week and you see me in jeans on the pulpit, please excuse me. Amen? Is that all right? I'm not saying you change your dressing. Amen? You know, everybody dresses. This church, dress any way you want to come. Amen? Do you get it? But please, I just want you guys to be expectant so that you might not be shocked. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We are stepping into our what? Possessions. Olu? We're stepping into our possessions. My sermon. We're stepping into what? Not that I can't preach it, you know, but it will take more time if I have to just preach it again because I've written some things down. Amen. It was helping me to charge that thing. Thank you, sir. All right. So let's start reading from verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 6. Of start from verse 5. Yeah, good, that's good. Yeah, six is good. Anyway, let's read together. 1, 2, let's go. Look, said to us at her, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Stop. How many of you have gotten that? Have you gotten that? Did you get it? Tell your neighbor, you have stayed long enough on this mountain. So as I told you, from the time of, you know, when my pastor came, my birthday and all that, I said there's a word that God gave us, is that there has to be shifts. Do you get it? Someone say shifts. There has to be changes. There has to be shifts. Everybody's got to make some move. So tell your neighbor, say make a move. Say make a move. So there's staying and there's staying too long. Amen. Just like I gave you the illustration that a child in the womb can stay there for 9 months, but after 9 months, if it still stays there, it has to be forced out. Amen. Because that place is no longer conducive. It's now dangerous for the child and the mom if the child stays beyond 9 months. So, doctor says we have to induce labor. Amen. So, God is saying it's time for you to what? To make a move. Or else there will be induced what? There will be what? Induced labor. Some things will have to happen to force you to move. Amen. So if you don't believe that, it's very scriptural. You know, God says that the harvest is very plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will force out. The word there is ekbalo. It means to cast, to bellow, to forcefully eject. Amen. It's the same word that was used when it says, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall cast out. So God, sometimes when it's time to shift and then there is not sensitivity or there is no move, then God allows some processes to start taking place so that you can move because he knows that that place is dangerous for you. Amen. He wants you to be in the place where he wants you to be. Hallelujah. Someone say, we're moving. Somebody say it boldly by faith. Say, I am moving. Say, I am moving forward, further. In God's plans and purposes for my life. So he said in verse 7, he said, break camp, and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. So break camp and advance. You know, the word break camp is a military term. Amen. You know, he didn't say break your camp. You know, what he's saying is that pack what? Pack all your what? You know, when you are staying, you camp somewhere. Do you get it? You camp there, you have your tent, you have all that. When they say break camp, what he's saying is, it's time for you. Hallelujah. It's time for you to
Pack up.
Amen. Did you get it? Pack up. Pack up everything. All the camping. Thank you. You know, pack it all up and then start to advance. So, in moving forward, there has to be some what? Some packing. Amen. You know, there was some, you know, if you've been, you know, very comfortable staying, instead it's time for you to start to break camp. And I want to speak this to you. I want you to get this spiritual principle of moving further in God's purpose and plans. Even though you may not know what the next thing is, and we're going to be showing you getting into the next things, but you may not know what the next thing or the next process and all that. There is a way that you live where you don't live like somebody who is settled and finished. Do you get what I'm saying? Did anybody get what I'm saying? You know, there's a way you can live and just feel like I've arrived. There's a way you can live and just feel like, wow, man, God, you took me through all that, and now, at last, here I am, man. I am so blessed. I am this and I am that. You know, for example, a church like us now. Oh, wow, man, you went through a very serious, very demanding building project, and now look how, wow, this is beautiful and all that. Then we just relax. Amen. Do you get it? There's a way you can live that, but there's a way you can feel like, oh, no, that was just a phase. There's something else. You understand? Every phase always prepares you for something. Do you get it? You know, there's a way you can feel, oh, man, and finally, at last, all this while, I went through all that, and I'm married. Oh, wow. I thought, well, man, I've been praying, Lord, for a long, you know, and then I just got this job. Wow, now it's time for me to relax. Amen? No, you don't live that way. So there's a way you live where you are constantly, you know, following God. Do you get what I'm saying? You are constantly listening and attentive to God and say, okay, God, so what are you speaking to me next? What's next? I thank you for what you have blessed me with. And then everything around you, the breaking camp, everything around you, you make sure that you are in a transitional process. Amen. Someone say transitional process. The only time we have the chance, the right, you understand, to say, I am done. Amen. Is when Paul, you understand, in 2 Timothy, when Paul, let's look. I think it's better for us to look at it. We'll come back to this place. 2 Timothy chapter 6. So, is it chapter 6? I'll find it for you. Paul was about to go. 2 Timothy was the last epistle that Paul wrote. It was an epistle that was written, by Paul being an older minister. And he was writing it to a younger son, you know, called Timothy. And in the epistle, he was just talking about, you know, just teaching him some things, speaking to him, you know, flee desires of youth, you know, pursue righteousness, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, he just kept on, you know, telling him that. And then he got to a point in 2 Timothy where Paul says that, verse, please let me find it. I finished my course. And Can you find that for me? Thank you. 4:7. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. 2 Timothy 4:7. Who's that? Was that Larry? Put your hands together for yourself. Which is my namesake, so we have Bible. Everybody, let's read together. Where to go? Next verse, verse 8. Next verse. Go back to verse 7. I have what? Fought what? I have what? I have finished what? I have finished what? Now, Miriam came to share a testimony about the marathon, right? Glory to God. Now, probably there were people that started it, but they did not what? They did not finish. Now, that's a good thing, right? I mean, it's to an extent, at least they ran something. But to other people, it makes no sense. Amen? Did they give medals? Do they give medals for being in the race? What did they give medal for? For finishing, amen? Now, it doesn't matter whether you finish last. Is that it? I hope I'm right. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you finish last. But as long as you what? Finish, you will get what? You will get a medal. But nobody gets a medal for starting. You don't get a medal for starting anything. You get medals for finishing things. You need to write that down. You don't get any medal for starting anything. You get medals for finishing. You get medal for getting to the end. It's when you get to the end, that's when it is marked in the court of heaven that it is what? It is done. Amen. Heaven does not mark that it has started. Otherwise, Saul, you know, Saul started well, right? But it didn't end well. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, finishing is what matters. So, Paul said, I fought the fight. I finished the race. I finished it and I kept the faith. I kept the faith. I kept it. So, he could say that I actually finished the assignment that God gave me to do. Now, this was at the end of his life. Because he began to talk about, I'm going to be poured out. If you keep reading, now I'm going to be poured out and all that. You know, I've lived my life for this and all. This is at the end of his life. But there was a way that Paul lived. Paul could not say this in the middle of his life or at the beginning. There was a way he lived. And I'm going to show you. In Acts chapter 20, Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, you will see an instance where Paul gives us the attitude, you know, by which, you know, he lived. He shows us an example of how he lived before he got to the end. I'm talking about breaking camp. Someone say breaking camp. In other words, living in a state where you know that you are here for an assignment and that assignment is in phases, and that the only time we have to say, I rest my laurels, is when we get to the end, like Paul, you know, like Paul did when he got to the end. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Are we ready? So in Acts chapter 20, Paul had just, you know, he was in Ephesus. He was in a particular phase of his calling. He had gone to Ephesus, if you read, and then at that point he was about to leave Ephesus. But then suddenly a prophet came and appeared to him. In Acts chapter 20, starting from so let's start reading from verse 17 so that we get the full thing. Acts 20, verse 17. It says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility. Man, someone say great humility. Do you know that? That's one of the things that is missing, right? You know, these days in the church. Amen. There are a bunch of people serving the Lord, but sometimes we serve God with pride. Someone say great humility. You know, that's why, you know, things amaze me. For example, when we went to the Chicago, you know, prayer event, that Chicago prayer event organized by Dr. Fielder, you remember? I will give you three examples. Organized by Dr. Fielder, one of my mentors. So there were different pastors and preachers from Chicago, all around. Big one. Coach was there, to John Hanna, to, you know, all these big preachers and all that. But you know the organizer, Dr. Fielder, where was he sitting? He was at the back. In fact, you wouldn't even know that he was the organizer. That he was the one that did all the work to put the whole thing together. He was right there at the back, and people were talking and all that. But you see him walking in the same string. Now, I love when people catch such things. You understand? I was very happy when you did Sibin. You understand? When he had the Sibin event, he was at the back there. You understand? Doing the, what do you call it? PowerPoint and all that, showcasing other people. You probably would not even know that he was the one that was doing all the, you know, the groundwork to put all those things together. You won't have any idea. And yesterday, I saw the same thing at the Men of Faith Network. You understand? If you were there, you will see Brother Fred. You will see. You won't even know that he was the founder of the Men of Faith Network. You won't know it. Because he was running around doing all that, but other people were talking. They were doing things. Yeah, they were doing all that. You will see different people. Pastor Olumide was there ushering. You know, just different. I mean, people serving. I mean, Escort, Laomi, all those people. People serving. You wouldn't know what's behind it. You understand? But other people are in front. I love such spirit. Amen. I love what? Such spirit. There's a spirit of humility, you know, that must come with God's service. That must come with it. Where it's not about you. Amen. It's not about you. No matter how, you know, and there's some people, they're not even doing big things. They are doing small things, but it's all about them. They're doing small things. Everybody must know that this is, you know, mine, this is what. No, that's not the spirit of the kingdom. In the spirit of the kingdom, the greatest is the one that is like a child. The greatest of all is what? The servant of all. Amen. Did you get that? The greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. There's something called servant leadership, which Jesus Christ manifested. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. The greatest in the kingdom is the one that seems, everybody thinks, is gullible. Until you are ready to look gullible to other people, you are not yet operating in the spirit of the kingdom. Did you get that? Did you get that? Let's welcome Brother Fred. Amen. I've been talking about you. You know, the greatest is the kingdom of God. It's not the person that, what? That, I'm sorry, let me say it this way. In the kingdom of God, you have to be willing to be, to look what? Gullible to other people. Do you get it? In other words, people have to feel that they can take advantage of you. Did you get what I'm saying? I want you all to listen to me. Someone say, people have to feel as if they can take advantage of you. That's kingdom living. Jesus Christ, they said he went to the, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Say he was dumb. He said he was dumb. He opened his mouth and did not speak. Even though he had all the power in the world, he could speak to Pilate and said, die now, and Pilate would die. But they said he was led there like a sheep to the slaughter. Peter tried to do some other else, came up and tried to cut the hair of the prophet. He said, no. This is a different kingdom. Amen. This is a difference. Jesus put the hair and put it back. He said, you need to understand the spirit of the kingdom. He said, in the spirit of the kingdom, you have to be somebody who people feel they can take advantage of you. In fact, sometimes as a kingdom person, you have to allow people to take advantage of you. Because you know that when you are walking under the authority of the kingdom, there's a king. You see, authority does not come from man. No, authority is not inherent. Somebody said, authority is not inherent. There's no authority in this world that is inherent in a person. Did you get that? Authority comes from authority. Did you get that? Authority comes from authority. It is not inherent. You can never get authority by making it. Amen. Authority is always delegated. Did you get that? For example, right now, let me give you an example. For example, everybody now, all the military officers right now, when they see the President of the United States, what do? They salute. Now, are they saluting Obama as a person? What are they saluting? The office. That office is something that came by law and constitution. Do you get it? Now, the moment, 4 years after, 2 years now, when he leaves the place, amen, then he's living in Hyde Park. Then he sends a letter to the chief of army staff or whatever they call them and says, I want you to launch something in Iraq. What are they going to say? What would they say to him? They just laugh at the paper, right? Do you understand? Because no longer is he under, he's no longer under the authority of the constitution anymore. He's now Barack what? Obama, the ex-president of what? So at that point, the only measure of authority he can command, maybe they have secret service people around him. Amen? Do you get what I'm saying? And all that. But not over the entire nation. So the rest is less to influence. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? So the only thing he can command is now left to influence that he has generated. But there's authority in the kingdom, and the authority proceeds from the king of the kingdom. It is not inherent in individuals. It is inherent in God. Bible says all authority proceeds from God, and God is the owner of all authority. So whenever you come against any kind of authority, you're not coming against any kind, even civil authorities and all that, you're not coming against individuals or things, you are coming against him. So that's why those who carry authority need to learn that, need to understand, if you carry any kind of authority, you need to learn that you need to be vulnerable, people need to feel they can take advantage of you. That is your security in the fact that this authority is not mine, so I don't need to what? To try to what? To exert it or try to make it work, because the person who gave the authority knows how to deal with the issues. Do you understand what I'm saying? Someone say great humility. Not just humility, someone say great humility. And with tears. With tears. The service of God involves some tears. Amen. Involves tears. Sometimes you've got to cry. Amen. Tears. Although I was severely tested by the plot of the Jews. Next, we're learning about Paul's attitude. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that will be helpful to you, and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, look at it. He said, now I am compelled by the Spirit. In other words, it was at that phase. I am now compelled by the Spirit. So, the authority is operating by authority, not knowing what will going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. But this is what I want you to. I know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. Someone say prison and hardship. They are facing me. Now everybody read this verse together. 1, 2, let's go. Amen. You know that was his, go back to that place. He said, I consider not my life worth nothing to me. You know that was, this is not about me. Amen. This is not about me. This is not about my life. The only thing that I'm concerned about is that I want to finish what? The race. And I want to complete the task that Jesus Christ handed over to me. And he knew the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now, Paul was looking to what he said in Timothy later. I have finished what? My course. But this was in the middle of the race. So in the middle of the race, his focus was on finishing, not on resting. Do you get it? Someone say finishing, not resting. Completion, not resting. That was his focus. And so I'm saying that we need to adopt this attitude. That's what it means to live in a way that you are breaking camp. In other words, you're always conscious that the only time I can say I'm done is at the end of my life. People like Billy Graham now, they can say I'm done. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? They can say I'm done. But while we are still in the middle, we're not done yet. Someone say we're not done yet. Someone say there's still more. So we need to have the same attitude like Paul. So let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and I begin to round up for today. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Again. Praise the name of Jesus. Is somebody getting something today? Are you sure? Alright, Deuteronomy 1. Chapter 1. Break camp! And then advance into the hill country of the Amorites. And then God gave them where to go. Jump to verse 8. Jump to verse 8. Everybody, let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, let's go. Go in and take possession of the land, which is swore that he will give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Everybody say, see. Say, see. So you see that this message today is like a repetition of everything I've been teaching. It's a summary. This is the end of the month. It's a summary of those things. And I hope you catch it because it's not supposed to be complicated. You know, it's a simple thing. It's a simple prophetic instruction that God is giving to everyone. Be on the move. Amen. Be in a position because there's a shift that I want you to take. And that shift involves possessing the land. The place of calling, stepping into it. And then, physical places, properties, and all that I want to use for my glory, but I want to give it to you. Amen. Possessing systems and All that. That's what he's saying. But for you to take possession, the first thing that needs to happen, you know, after you are in that mode, is that you've got to see it.
Someone say, I've got to see it.
Somebody say, I've got to see it. You have to see, because if you can't see, you can't take possession. That was what I taught last week. You should go and listen to it. And I said there are three aspects of sin that you must... There are three aspects where God must open your eyes to be able to see. Because the way this thing works, you can't just possess any land. Someone, did you get that? Say that. So did you get that? Someone said, I can't just possess any land. Is God had to define the land that Israel must take. And he told them, the Edomites and all the other ones, they are your brothers. Later, if you read on, he said, I don't want you to touch their land because I'm not giving it to you. Did you get that? If you read on in Deuteronomy, he said, I'm not giving you their own land. Do you get it? I'm giving you your, because I'm giving their own for them to possess. So you need to understand that you are part of a body. Someone say, I'm part of a body. Now, you are part of a local body, number one. But also, we are also part of a universal body of Christ with a universal purpose that is designated, that is directed by the head of the body, who is called Jesus Christ. Did you get that? We are part of a local body, and then we're also part of a universal body. So let's start from the universal body. The purpose is dictated by the head of the body, Jesus Christ, right? Of what he wants to do on the earth, which is the establishment of his kingdom. That's what he wants to accomplish on the earth. So he tells everyone, you do this. He moves apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, people. He moves them to various places. Amen. And then he establishes local churches where every believer must be part of a local church. If any believer is not part of a local church where they're submitted, where they're committed, where they are serving, where they are learning, that is their biggest problem in life. They have to, first of all, have to sort that out, because they are living in rebellion. Do you get what I'm saying? When the head says something, then the people need to follow. And one of the things he said is that, one of the things he spoke about is the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he put on local churches and elders and pastors and all that. He puts it down. So anyone who says, I just want to watch TV, I just want to do that and do all that, they are living in rebellion. And God does not bless rebellion. Do you know what I'm saying? He said, rebellion is like this, it's like the witch. So he said, to obey is better than what sacrifice. Now, there are some people who are sacrificing, doing things, but they are not walking in obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. And to hearken better than the fat of rams. He was talking about Saul. Saul made all the sacrifices, but he disobeyed the voice of Samuel. Do you get what I'm saying? So to obey is better with God. He said, for rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. In other words, God wants all of us to be under authority. Under the authority of the local church, being part of a local church, that's the first thing every believer must make sure they put in place. Now, there is a directive from the head of the body. Now, there is a directive for every local body, every local church too, of what God wants us to do in relation to his overall body. And then there is a directive concerning every home. And then there's a directive concerning every member of the body. Are you getting it? You are getting it from universal to individual, right? None of those things can conflict, because it is the same head that is speaking what? Everything. But the way it works is this: the local church must submit to the universal purpose. The members of the church must submit to the local church and so submit to the universal purpose. Amen. And then in the home, there must also be submission. That's why you have husband and you have wives and you have leaders in every home. In other words, it must flow like that, because that's how the kingdom of God works. Hallelujah. 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 So what God is saying right now is that within the overall purpose, there is one for you. You cannot just pick anything. You cannot just say, okay, yeah, this is what I choose to do. Or you cannot just say, oh yeah, this is now my purpose. Or this is now my vision. Or this is what I know. It has to be something delivered to you by Jesus. Somebody say after me. Say something delivered to me by Jesus. In other words, every assignment in the kingdom must proceed from the head of the kingdom. You can't just pick it up. And that's why that see aspect is very important. First of all, write it down. You must see spiritually, right? Someone say, I must see it spiritually. I must receive it spiritually. That place, that land that belongs to me, I must, first of all, what? Receive it, what? Spiritually from God.
You have to see it spiritually. You can't just speak anything and say, okay, yeah, that's mine. No. There is divine instruction. The concept of submission. Submission means submission. Meaning that there's an overall mission and then there's now a submission. There's no submission when there's not an overall mission. There's an overall mission for the body of Christ and then there are some submissions. Amen. Some submissions under what? That overall mission. So the question you need to find, ask God, what is my submission? Everybody say after me, say, what is my submission? No, you don't get that. Someone say, what is my submission? For example, right now, they are fighting some wars in Syria and all that. So the commander-in-chief and the president, issues and other, there is an overall mission. But within the overall mission, there are other individual platoons and all that. They say, okay, you are going to go to this side. You are going to fly to that side. You are going to go to... So there are submissions under the overall mission. Now, one person cannot just say, okay, yes, now, or, you know, okay, now I need to fly somewhere else. Amen? And then when I fly there, I will do it. No, it doesn't work that way. Amen? It works with what? The overall mission. Submission. What is my submission? So when you now find your submission, someone say my submission. For example, Brother Fred, what is his submission? The man of faith. What is my submission in this overall mission? In what sphere? What is my submission? Then that's when you find that submission, then what happened? You submit to what? That submission. Now you doing that submission in alignment with the overall mission is your submission. Do you understand what I'm saying, everyone? Do you get that? Somebody say, see. Say after me, say, see. Say, find out from God. Say after me, say, find out from God. What is my mission? What is my submission in this overall mission? Even Jesus Christ, when he came, you know, he was equal with God. The Bible says he did not count himself equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and became obedient like the form of a servant. And what is he said? In that obedience, he said, the Son can do nothing except what he foresees the Father doing. The Son can do nothing except what he foresees the Father doing. There are many things we have the capacity to do, but it's not everything you have the capacity to do that you are supposed to do. You have to find out what the Master wants you to do in this overall mission. Amen. As a person, there are many things I have the capacity to do. There are many things that the church has capacity to do. But then God says, okay, this is the area I need you to focus on at this time because I have somebody else focusing on this. And what? At that time. Do you get it? So you must always find out what is my mission at this time. You got to see it spiritually. Someone say, see it spiritually. Say it again. Say, see it spiritually. You don't get it. Say, see it spiritually. And then the next thing I said, well, you got to see it physically. 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 You first of all get the instruction from God, and then you also need to discern it what? Physically. Because every assignment from God has a physical aspect. Do you understand? Even though it starts spiritually. So that's where you are very sensitive to God. And as, for example, let's say properties right now. There are some properties that God has released for members of this church at this moment. As you are going, you know it, there's an instruction, there's a word. Then suddenly, you see one or whatever, and then God tells you, that is something that I'm giving you. But you are not yet taking possession of it. Don't be afraid if you cannot. It looks like you cannot possess it. That's always the way God works. Amen. Oh, you see somebody doing a particular thing, and God tells you, you know what, that kind of a thing, I need you to do something like that for the kingdom. And then you look at it, it's so huge and all that, you're like, man, I cannot do it. That is the way Israel felt. And that's why they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness and not moving forward. Amen. They felt incapacitated and then they refused to move. Amen. They refused to move. So, listen. God is going to show you things, tell you things bigger than what your capacity can handle. Your current capacity can handle. Amen. God is going to tell you things. He's going to show you places. He's going to show you places in destiny. Spiritual eyes to attain. Things that he wants your family to do. Things he wants your family to possess. And when you see those things will look intimidating. Amen. They will look intimidating. So what do? The third level of sin, after identifying it physically, then the third level of sin is you go into that thing. Someone say, go into it. And actually experience it. Someone say, experience it beforehand. That's how possession works. So if he tells you, oh yeah, I want you to do this particular thing. Then you go to somebody, you go to a place where somebody who is already doing it is doing it, and you experience it. If he tells you a property, you go to that property, make an appointment, go into the property and experience it. Amen. Israel had Moses sent spies. He said, God told us this land is flowing with milk and honey. Okay, we believe. Now go and check it out. And they went to check it out. They said, yeah, the land is exactly like the Lord spoke to us. The land is good and all that, and all that, and all that. They went to experience it. And they told them, but the problem, you got to be careful. Because when you are experiencing it physically, like I said, and you're going into it, you're also going to see some other things in there. Then you have to experience your perspective. Because when they went there, they saw giants in the land. But instead of them focusing on what God had promised, they focus on the giants. Only two people focus on what? On God. So when they came back, they said, the land is exactly like God spoke. But you know what? They are the sons of Anakim there. They are giants in the land. And I mean, they are so... He said, before them, when we looked at ourselves, we were like grasshoppers. So they saw themselves the wrong way. But there were two people there, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, immediately, he told them, he said, guys, this land is great. Let us go at once and possess it. For we are well able. Someone say, we are well able. And God said concerning them, he said, Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. It was a spirit of faith. It is a spirit that refuses to be intimidated by things that seem beyond your natural capacity. It is that spirit that sees a vision. And it looks so huge and it looks so insurmountable. But that spirit says, with God on my side, and because I'm operating under the authority of God, and God is the highest authority, I'm able to do this thing because I'm not doing it alone. Amen. I'm not doing that's the spirit of faith. So as you see, to possess, you must engage the spirit of faith. You must tell yourself, I'm not in this thing for myself, and I'm not in this thing by myself. I'm not in this thing for myself. I'm not in this by myself. I'm operating under divine authority. God told me to enter the land. God told me to possess this land. God showed me this land. I'm operating by his direction. Therefore, he's going to show me how to do it. He's going to give me wisdom on what to do. He's going to open doors for me. He's going to make things happen. He's going to make a way for me. Because he's the one who has sent me. I am well able to do this thing. I'm well able to accomplish this thing. Therefore, I will not be afraid. Therefore, I will not be intimidated. Therefore, I will not be afraid what man can do. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my leader. He has gone ahead of me. He's following me. He's with me. I can do it. It does not matter my color. It does not matter my age. It does not matter my background. It does not matter my past experiences. It does not matter what the knowledge I have right now. God is with me. And because God told me to go do it, therefore I will do it. It shall come to pass because God has declared it. And I'm operating under the authority of God. Nothing is able to stop me. I am taking possession of my place. I'm taking possession of my land. I'm taking possession of my calling. I can do it. I will not fail. I will not be stopped. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I arise and I am strong. And I rise and I advance. I'm taking possession. Come on, rise up on your feet, everybody. I'm taking possession. Oh, I want to hear the spirit of Caleb and the spirit of Joshua in this place. Say, I am taking possession. Say, I am not intimidated by my lack of abilities. I am not intimidated by my accent. I'm not intimidated by the color of my skin. I'm not intimidated by my age. I'm not intimidated by my level of education. I'm not intimidated by the amount of money that is going to require. I'm not intimidated by the amount of money that is in my account right now. I'm not intimidated by the number of people that I need to mobilize to get it done. I'm not intimidated by anything. I am under authority. The one who sent me is in charge of making it happen. All I just have to do is to know that I'm walking with him, that I'm following him, that I'm walking in alignment with him. The one who sent me, he shall bring it to pass. 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 Lift your hands, everybody. He shall bring it to pass.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.